You're listening to Family Talk Radio right here on KERI with Dr. Doug Cowan as he discusses issues of importance to you and your family. Stay tuned.
Okay, welcome to the program. I'm glad you joined us. We are in part three of a four-part series on attention deficit disorder, which is, as we've talked about, the most common of all childhood behavior disorders. It affects about 1 out of 20 children in one way or another, including teenagers, including adults who may or may not outgrow this problem. About half of all adults outgrow the problem, half of them do not. And so it can be a significant problem even for adults in our population. About 1 out of 20 kids, and that's a whole lot of children, 1 to 2 kids in every classroom, in every school, in every city across America. So for me, it's job security because it's what most of what I do for a living in my counseling practice. But for others out there, it's a really significant problem. So we're going to look at today how it's diagnosed. Tomorrow we're going to talk about treatment. Let me just tell you this too. If you want more information, there's a whole lot more information than what I could ever give you on a program of this length. Let me refer you to my website. I do have a site on the internet where I have about 100 pages of information on attention deficit disorder, including what it is, how it's treated, different treatment options, how it's diagnosed, classroom interventions. I've got, 600, 700 classroom interventions listed there. So all of you who are school teachers will want to go there. Here's the address, www.newideas.net. newideas.net. Not .com, .net. newideas.net. Go there, go into the ADD library section. Lots of information there. So anyway, how is it diagnosed? The most common way that it's diagnosed is not the best way. And that's why we get so many overdiagnosed kids or underdiagnosed kids. Typically what's done is a parent is pulling their hair out. They take the kid to the medical doctor. There are some medical doctors that are excellent with this, by the way, but not all. In fact, probably not even most. But some medical doctors are really, really good with diagnosis and treatment. But oftentimes they take the child to the family practitioner, general practice doc, even pediatrician, who talks to the parent for 3 or 4 minutes and then gives the parent a little rating scale with 7 or 10 questions on it. And based on that, they make a diagnosis and prescribe medication. In my mind, well, what happens is they're probably right 80% of the time. But for those 20% that they're not right, it's kind of scary because there are other things that can look like attention deficit disorder. We talked about head injuries in the first show, but other things like childhood depression, anxiety disorders, specific kinds of learning disabilities, or just behavioral problems. I mean, just a kid who's acting like a brat but doesn't have a neurologically based problem, all of those can look like attention deficit disorder. So can Tourette's syndrome. There are a number of things that can. And so it's important to do a good workup, a good assessment, a good diagnosis, so that whatever treatment you decide to do, it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. So what are the treatment options that are available for attention deficit disorder? Hey, we'll talk about that tomorrow. You got to listen in tomorrow. Okay, how do I think it should be diagnosed? Well, rating scales are important. I think it's important for parents and teachers to give input. But that's not the whole deal. What I do, I think this is at a minimum. I do the very least that I think is good, and then if I need to, I can do more. I think the very least, the minimum, would be sitting down with the parents for about an hour and doing a clinical interview with the parents, getting a good background, because so many times the problems just started yesterday. And that's where you start thinking it's maybe depression or anxiety or something else. because with attention deficit disorder, typically you have seen the problems since the child was born, if there are problems with impulsivity or hyperactivity. And typically if it's a learning problem, a problem focusing attention, what we call a cognitive problem, you typically see that from the time the kid starts learning or the time that they're first enrolled in school. So we get a good developmental history and a good social history. We want to know if there have been any head injuries or any seizure problems, any high fevers, any car accidents. We want to know the genetic family tree. Is this something that runs in the families? What mom and dad's school history was. Just a thorough workup of the child's history. Where he's been, where his family's been, what the family's like. We want to know things like if there have been any abuse, any emotional traumas that the child's been through. All of those things are important information to know. Then we want to do a clinical interview with the child as well, and just to get to know him, kind of observe him doing a variety of little tasks, everything from marching in place to just having a conversation with him. Can tell you a lot. We want to know his estimate, his IQ, his intelligence level. Just things like that. We just want to really see the child. You can't see him in a lot of situations. You know, it's really difficult to go to the classroom and watch him. But within that clinical interview, you want to see him do a number of different tasks to see how well he does them. And then at that point, it still looks like it might be attention deficit disorder. I use a test called the TOVA, the Test of Variables of Attention, T-O-V-A. And the TOVA is sort of the state-of-the-art standard test for diagnosing and using it in treatment of attention deficit disorder. It's a computer-driven test. It has nothing to do with my opinion, the child's opinion, the parent's opinion. It's all numbers, the kid sitting at the computer. We measure reaction time, variability of his performance. One time he's right on it, another time he's distracted and slow. We measure his errors of impulsivity or errors of not paying attention. It's a terrific test. I mean, it's really, really helpful. Now, you should never have this test taken without doing the clinical interviews because it's just a test. I mean, it's not the hand of God or the voice of God telling you. It's just a computer test. But it's extremely helpful when it's put in together with the clinical interviews and with the rating scales. Then you can come up with a pretty righteous diagnosis. Or if you have more questions, other testing's available, like IQ testing or academic testing, but it's not imperative. Now, can the schools make this kind of assessment? The schools can do an excellent job with assessments, and oftentimes they do an excellent job with assessments. Sometimes they get a little overcrowded, and in that case, if your child is not a severe problem, you're at the end of the line. But there are some legal issues involved. From the time that you make a written request to have the testing done, they have only a certain number of days, I think it's 50 days, to test the child. And the problem there is they may not do a full battery. And the battery they do may not be a battery for the purpose of assessing for attention deficit disorder. But sometimes a school will do a great job, and it's important that if you're going to go that route through the schools, that you build a good relationship with the person doing the testing and you're able to communicate exactly what your concerns are with the child's behavior or his learning or whatever. So you have to have a good working relationship with the school psychologists doing those testing. They're good people. They're really busy. They're really overworked. So you have to kind of, you know, be kind to them and communicate with them if you're going that route. They typically will not come back with a report that says this child has ADD and requires treatment. They tend to try to avoid that for whatever reasons, but they may make referrals to somebody like myself or to your medical doctor in order to pursue it further. So it can be helpful. It's important as part of the process to have the physician look at your child and do a physical as well. Every once in a while, we come across a kid that primarily there's a medical cause, like a thyroid disorder or something like that. And so it is important for your medical doctor to be involved right at the beginning of the assessment and make sure your child is healthy. That's very, very important. So that's what we do in terms of assessment. Once we believe we're, you know, with 90% or 95% certainty that that's what's going on, then we sit down with the parents and develop a treatment plan. There are a number of options for treatment. Everything from diet to over-the-counter medicines like Attend and X-Stress from Voxa to prescription medications like Ritalin or Dexedrine to EEG biofeedback training, which is an excellent intervention. And we're going to look at all of these things in more detail tomorrow. So please join us for that. Don't go away. I'll be back in about 15 seconds. If you're interested in ordering the Voxa products, you can do so from my website at newideas.net, or you can call Voxa directly. They're in Florida at 1-800-248-8292. That's 248-8292. And you can order the Attend and the X-Stress products, which I recommend. You can order those directly from them. Again, newideas.net, ADD101.com, or Voxa at 1-800-248-8292. And we'll be back tomorrow with more Family Matters. Until then, God bless you.